Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
To Anne Serling, the imposing figure the public saw hosting The Twilight Zone each week and toning cautionary observations about fate, chance, and humanity, was not the father that she knew. Her fun-loving dad, Rod Serling, would play on the floor with the dogs, heck, nicknames for everyone in the family, and would just have a lot of fun. After his unexpected death at the age of 50, Anne, just 20 years old, was left stunned. Gradually, she found solace for her grief by talking to his friends, poring over old correspondence, and recording her childhood memories. Now she shares personal photos and eloquent, revealing letters and beautifully rendered scenes of his childhood, war years, and their family's time together. Her new book is As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling. And it's a pleasure to welcome Anne Serling to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
It's very nice to have you aboard. At what point did you think that this was something that you wanted to do publicly and write a book about your dad and about how you knew him?
Well, I find writing cathartic like my dad did. I'd actually started another book called In His Absence about 8 years after my father died, but because I was still so overwhelmed with grief, I wasn't ready to finish that. And then I finally was ready to begin As I Knew Him, and it was just, again, cathartic and a way to work to navigate that grief. And also things had been said about my dad that described a person that was not remotely familiar to me, so I decided I would also take advantage of, you know, this opportunity to set the record straight.
What was it about I guess one of the things that struck me in the book was, I mean, obviously your relationship to him versus what the public image of him was. However, I'm curious as to, as a child, how aware you were of his persona and what people made of him and really the likability of him as an actor on television.
Well, I knew that my dad was a writer. I knew that from a fairly early age, but I didn't know exactly what he was writing until I was about 7, and some mean boy on the playground asked me if I was something out of the Twilight Zone. And having no idea what that meant, I went home and asked him, and he explained that he wrote for a series that was too old for me. And then eventually, a few years later, I did see the episode Nightmare at 20,000 Feet and was absolutely terrified. Because it, you know, it was, even though my dad had not written that episode, Richard Matheson did, it was still my father that appeared before and after. So, you know, it was my dad at home was very different from the professional person.
How did he come to ultimately being, because he was first and foremost a writer, right? I mean, that was his vocation.
Right, although, you know, originally he had wanted to be a phys ed teacher because he really liked working with kids. But after the war, he was so traumatized that he switched to language and literature because, as he said, he needed to get it out of his gut, off his chest.
So once he decided on writing, what was his, he wrote for television, wrote for, at what point did he start writing for himself, really?
Well, he wrote, you know, originally he wrote scripts for radio and then some Playhouse 90, and then as live television sort of expired, you know, he moved west, as all many of the writers did.
Right.
And he really launched into the Twilight Zone because he was so frustrated with the censors and the sponsors, and his quote was that an alien could say what a Democrat or a Republican couldn't, so thus launched the Twilight Zone.
And that was his creation. That was his idea of what that could be.
Yes, absolutely.
And what does that tell us about him, in the fact that of thinking that way and being able to put us into everyday situations and so quickly put us on edge?
Well, you know, he felt very strongly about, for instance, prejudice. He thought it was the greatest evil of our time, and he thought it was just very important not to be censored and to be able to speak out, for everyone to be able to speak out. And actually, his quote was, it's a writer's job to menace the public's conscience. Mm. And he felt that this should all be out there.
You struck a little, you touched on this a moment ago about your father dealing with censorship. Obviously, this is not something that you know as a child, but as you got older, you became more and more aware of that.
Right, and actually, my dad's first taste of prejudice came from his own people when he was blackballed from a Jewish fraternity for dating non-Jewish girls.
And
when he was in high school.
Mm-hmm. When he was in high school.
Right.
And then that manifested itself to in his writing, and it would come out. And then there were often points, and I mean, yes, it was entertainment, but he was also trying to make points and be certainly I think conversational about important issues through the programs, whether that was Twilight Zone or Night Gallery.
Right, and he realized again, you know, that through the Twilight Zone he could slip these messages under the radar and past the censors and the sponsors. And, you know, he wrote about the human condition, and I think that's why it has survived all these years, because all of these issues are still so relevant today.
But
no one would have been more stunned than my dad to know that Twilight Zone, you know, was just voted one of the best dramas, or one of the best television programs.
Yes. The programs that came out of that and what he wrote and other fine writers, I mean, if you read the scripts to those, they're beautifully written. And I so I would think for you there's a great deal of pride that comes in reading that work.
Oh, there absolutely is. And I had not seen a lot of the Twilight Zones while my dad was still living. It really was after he died that I turned to them more to see my father than the actual show. But as you said, there's some really touching, beautiful scripts.
When you decided to write this book and you explore the relationship with your father, this is a story that is actually a lovely story in the sense that you had a very good relationship with your father.
Right, right. And it was really my editor, Marlene Adelstein, who told me after the first draft that because my grief was so central to this book, I really needed to pull it out. And that's what a lot of people have really related to, that, you know, send me messages, you know, experiencing their own losses.
And this is a loss that came much earlier than it should have. Your father passed at the age of 50. And coming to terms with that, especially when you're 20, is a very, very difficult thing. I mean, the loss of a parent is always difficult, but especially when they're taken from us so young.
Right. I just turned 20 a few weeks before, and we had, you know, even though open heart surgery was brand new in 1975, we all thought that this was going to be the answer. And my dad was very much looking forward to the next chapter of his life, writing a Broadway play, a novel. So it just stunned us all, and I had what had been described as complicated grief because I just couldn't work through it.
Why do you think it was complicated? What do you think was there about it that made it so difficult?
I couldn't imagine a world without my dad. I missed him so desperately that I just fell apart. And I was embarrassed by that because, you know, everybody else seemed to be moving on and I was so stuck.
Is it weird, and you can say this as few people can, is it weird then to have obviously your grieving of a man that you perceive differently than the rest of the world, but that he is being mourned publicly, Does that put you in any position? Because, as you say, people start to move on, but yet his work lasted. He becomes the show becomes very popular. There are all kinds of revivals and films and so forth. So does that make it even more difficult?
No, I think actually it makes it easier because I think about, you know, my dad didn't believe his writing would stand the test of time, and he would have been so humbled and grateful to know that he's still so much in the public's conscience. And I hear from people all the time who tell me that what a big influence my father was on them or why they turned to writing. And I'm so touched by these words, as he would have been.
What were the conversations? Did you have conversations with your father specifically about writing and what he was working on?
Not so much really, although he did a show called A Storm in Summer that I loved, and we talked about that one. And there were some other scripts that he wrote that we did talk about, actually, so I'm going to change my answer. It's really yes. There was a night gallery he wrote that we talked about. It was about a hunter, and I had a friend at the time whose father would go on these safaris and shoot all these animals, and my dad and I found that pretty abhorrent, and so we discussed the ending of this night gallery. I think it was called Queen Trophies for Another Kill or something like that. So if he was working on a specific piece that he thought I would be moved by, he would tell me about it.
Did you share your writing with him?
I did. I shared my poetry, and that's what I was primarily writing back then. And if he liked it, he would say so, and would talk about it a lot. If he didn't like it, he would declare it interesting.
the standard parental response when it comes to work like that, I guess.
Right.
That's interesting. And ultimately, so through the process of, I guess I'm curious, and this is a technical question, but how much of writing this book was therapeutic, and or was the therapy before in the sense of getting you to the point where you could actually write this book?
I think both. I think, you know, certainly I had to go through the process where I was ready to even, you know, face it head on. And then writing it, of course, was sort of the continuing journey. Doing the audio tape was sort of the final thing. I found that I was, you know, sitting in a dark room under these headphones by myself with just the director's voice, and I would think about my dad doing the same thing. So I felt very connected to my father in that final stage there of this book.
I assume by going out, you mentioned people coming out and talking to you about grief and talking to you about loss, but I assume there's also a lot of talk about what your father and what his work meant to people along the way as well. And that has to be gratifying.
It is absolutely gratifying. I hear from people all the time. And like I said, my dad would have been so touched.
The name of the book is As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling. It is published by Citadel, which is a division of Kensington. Ann Serling, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I wish you all the luck in the world. And again, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book is As I Knew Him, My Dad, Rod Serling. The book is published by Citadel Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.